You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most issues of it in world sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you, but that doesn't mean we won't go off the beaten path. Go off on a tangent, have some fun. It's a chilly week right now. Here in Philadelphia.
It was like 65 the other day, though.
Well, it's going to go back up to 65 this upcoming weekend.
I can't take these, like, 30-degree swings.
Yeah, so I guess for, like, what's new with us, Philadelphia has no idea what winter is.
The other day, I turned my air on.
It goes back and forth, back and forth. Rich, it's crazy here.
Rich, one day I had the heat on. The next day I had to turn the air on because it was 77 degrees in the apartment.
I believe it. Yeah, it's crazy.
I was like, I'm not turning it on. I'm not turning it on. And then eventually, by that evening, I was like, I can't.
Yeah, I can't survive.
Like, but it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, it's like 77 degrees in here. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah. So it's a wild weekend here in Philadelphia in terms of the weather. I don't know. I feel like the last couple
of
years...
Can I just have like a week where it's just like in the 40s? Just like the mid-40s. Like, that's all I want.
How about just like the 50s where all you need is like a leather jacket?
Yeah, that. Why can't...
Remember those days?
No, I don't.
Why can't we have those anymore?
It's not allowed.
Yeah, apparently no. We have to go wacky up and down, up and down.
One minute you're like in, you know... Arctic gear, the next you're in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah. I mean, perfect evidence on the video feed. I have my heavy winter coat here over here with my scarf. That's how cold it is. And I'm a guy that loves the cold.
It was 65 yesterday.
And yeah, yesterday was 65. Tonight's it's like 20 degrees. And by the upcoming weekend, it's going to be 65 again.
It's crazy. Calling for snow at some point.
They were, but that went out the window.
All I know is I'm freezing right now.
So it's crazy. We're going up and down.
All around. We're like a, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Our weather report. I don't know why. We started off with the weather report. we're the news here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
This is the best news, though.
Yes. So besides Philadelphia weather, Mikey, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I was at a wedding this weekend, which was fun.
Yep.
It was a Jewish wedding.
It was a Jewish wedding.
That's a long-running joke with my dad, his obsession with Fiddler on the Roof.
Yep.
And every time he watches Fiddler on the Roof, he goes, guys, come here now. That's a Jewish wedding. And he'll point to the wedding scene in the movie.
Yep, he knows his Jewish
wedding.
He
knows his Jewish
wedding. Frank is, he's not on top of much, but he is on top of the Jewish weddings and sausages.
Those are his two great loves in life.
Yep.
Not his wife or his kids, but Jewish weddings and sausages.
There you go. Perfect.
So, yeah, I was at a Jewish wedding, which was a lot of fun. I'd never been to one, so it was the chuppah. I think that's what it's called, the thing that they stand under. I'm not Jewish either. But they, you know, they break the glass in the towel and sing Mazel Tov, and they do the chair lift and they do the Have a Nagila, and it was a lot of fun experiencing a different type of wedding, because I've only ever been to basically the traditional Christian style weddings, you know.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting getting to see another set of customs. So that was a lot of fun. I've also been playing a video game called The Forgotten City, and I don't know if I don't know what else it's available on. I know I'm playing it on PlayStation 5, but it is so good so far, Rich, and I think it's right up your alley. You need to see if it's available on PlayStation 4. You basically play as an archaeologist who gets stuck in this weird, like, underground, forgotten city in ancient Rome.
There you go.
But your character is not from ancient Rome. Your character's from like modern day that finds themselves stuck back in time. And you're stuck in, this isn't spoiling anything, this is in the first like half hour of the game, you find yourself stuck in this city in which there is a golden rule that if any member of the city commits a sin, everyone in the city will die. And you've been brought back in time to this ancient Roman city to discover who is going to break the golden rule and stop them from breaking it. But the gimmick is that you will routinely have to break it yourself and plunge the city into chaos and then reset the loop and try again, keeping the information and the objects that you collect in the previous run.
So it sounds like part Groundhog Day, part Death Loop, part Uncharted.
It's really cool because even though I'm only like a couple of hours into it, I can already see how the puzzle mechanics will work. You talk to somebody, you learn something, you intentionally commit a sin, murder a character, steal something, and then you go back and you're armed then with that knowledge and you can sort of set things in motion so that the next time around through the loop, you know exactly where characters are going to be, how they're going to, you know, approach situations so you can kind of get ahead of them. And it's really, really interesting.
Okay.
So I think, I don't know. Didn't come prepared. I don't know if it's on PlayStation 4. I'm really sorry if it's not because it sounds like a game that's perfect for you.
All right. Well, check it out. Maybe it's on Steam because I've been playing.
It might. You know, it probably is on Steam because it started as a mod for like one of the Elder Scrolls games.
Yeah, I've been playing Steam a little bit lately, so it could be there as well.
It's on PlayStation 4.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Perfect. So
there
I can
go.
Get it on my old PS4. Because I still don't have a PS5 yet, but I'll get there.
You'll get one eventually.
I'll get one.
You got to get the big screen TV
first.
Right,
I got to get the whole setup.
Now
in my
house. You're still outfitting the house.
Yeah,
yeah.
I kind of have other priorities that.
Well, you told me very excitedly earlier you got a tea kettle.
Yes, I do.
I mean, you need a tea. I mean, everybody. I never thought about it, but you need a tea kettle occasionally.
We're coming up to the wacky winter where the temperature randomly drops to 30 degrees. Out of nowhere, so I do want to have a tea kettle ready to go. So
it's nice to have a cup of tea every once in a while.
It is. I do like a good cup of tea to end the night on. So
you can also use it to boil water for hot cocoa.
Yeah.
I mean, anything.
Any boiling need.
That's right.
Perfect.
Yes. But other than watching water boil, what have you been up to, Rich?
Yep. So I checked out the Beatles documentary. Get Back.
Right. And how was that?
Good. Definitely, if you're any sort of a Beatles fan, it's worth your time. Although I will say it is long.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like three parts, isn't it? And it's Peter Jackson. He doesn't know how to make a short movie.
Yeah. Hey, Peter Jackson. yeah.
The director of one of your favorite franchises of all time, The Lord of the Rings, of course.
Oh, God. Just forever. And I do, you know, sometimes the Beatles documentary, it's the same thing, too, because it's three parts, but each part is either two and a half or 3 hours long.
That's a lot. I mean, why couldn't they just break it up into 10 episodes?
Yeah, it would have been better if he could have broken it up into 9-hour episodes.
Right. Why does it have to be three-hour sagas?
Yeah.
You know?
So that was a little disappointing because, you know, I was trying to watch with Rachel, and Rachel, like, we're getting through the first episode, and then, like, she's like, when is this over? And I'm like, I don't know. And then I hit the pause button, and it's like, we're an hour in, I'm thinking, oh yeah, part one's done. No, we still have another 90 minutes in part one.
Oh my gosh. And then there's two more episodes.
Yeah. So it if you're the kind of person that likes breaks and stuff, yeah, that might throw you off a little bit. This is a long documentary. But the last part, you have to check it out because it has
the concert, right?
The concert, the full edited HD restored concert on the rooftop of their studios, Apple Studios. It's worth it. You got to check it out.
That's awesome. Yeah. I know. I completely forgot about that until I started seeing some news articles come out about it recently. You know, as everybody's watching it and commenting on it. So I definitely have to go back to that.
Yeah. It's worth your time. It's really interesting to see them actually like get along.
Because apparently everybody, you know, the common thread is that Yoko Ono broke up the Beatles.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there was a lot of animosity between the four of them, but that's apparently not true.
No, I mean, look, Yoko probably didn't help, but she's not the root cause of the Beatles breakup. They were all naturally kind of going into different interests in terms of their music styles and stuff like that.
Right.
John was really getting out there with his political messages. Paul kind of wanted to be more mainstream. George was experimenting with the Hindu
Eastern cultures.
Eastern culture sound, stuff like that, and Ringo is Ringo. So
Ringo's just drumming, just
yeah.
Badala, 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 yeah.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ringo.
So it was to be honest, it was more a natural kind of split apart.
Right.
You know, that it was just destined to happen.
So is it not so much a split apart as it is a natural growth, and as they grow, they just sort of drift?
Yeah, I think so. And
I think people wanted more drama out of it.
Well, I think that's what this documentary is a testament to, is that they were on good terms for the most part. I mean, there is one part in the documentary where George Harrison bolts because he's had enough of the recording and it's getting to them and stuff like that. So
I mean, it must be tough. I mean, they churned out a lot of music in a short span of time.
Yeah. So he does get burnout, and he's like, get Eric Clapton, like just replace me. I'm done. Which is really startling, because you're like, oh my gosh, Eric Clapton would have been awesome in that lineup.
Eric Clapton played guitar on While My Guitar Gently
yes.
Weeps.
So it would have been,
it's testament that he would have been amazing.
Yeah. It would have been a perfect fit.
Yeah.
So, It's definitely worth your time. Check out. And it's an interesting behind the scenes look at how, you know, they created their last couple of albums. It's definitely worth your time if you're any sort of a Beatles fan.
Definitely got to check that one out.
Yep. All right. Now we're done our Netflix recommendations and Disney Plus recommendations and all that stuff. So let's get to the first batch of topics we have prepared for you. In the sports world with the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face here. We're going to hit a couple topics in 2 minutes or less with the 2 minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, there you go. Clock is armed. What do you
have? All right, this week in the 2 minute drill, we have a little bit of quarterback news. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Big Ben Roethlisberger's time may be coming to an end.
It's
widely believed that the Steelers' longtime franchise quarterback and two-time Super Bowl winner will be retiring after this season. That's big breaking news, heartbreaking news here for Steelers fans. Roethlisberger, at the age of 39, has played his entire 18-year career with the Pittsburgh Steelers after being drafted by them, so it's only fitting he would retire with the Steelers, you know, not bother signing with another team. But that does leave the Steelers in a predicament. They don't know who's going to take his place because the current backup, Mason Rudolph, I believe.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think that he's the answer, but there's also a lackluster quarterback class coming up. There's not really many free agent options. Do the Steelers just kind of middle along for a while as they try to find a replacement? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what they're going to have to do. They missed the boat last year with the quarterback hoopla.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they kind of have to ride it out. Maybe they do ride with Mason Rudolph for one more year. I mean, I don't know what else you do.
Right.
Because
you don't want to reach and then miss, and, you know.
Yeah, there's not really any quarterbacks in this upcoming draft. At least ones to really target and go after.
That's not to mean they can't find somebody in the second or third or fourth round. It's
possible, but, you know, that's more of a long shot.
You can't bank on finding a quarterback in the late rounds. You can't be like, don't worry, we'll just grab one in the sixth and develop them. Doesn't usually happen that way.
No, you can't Tom Brady your way out of this.
No, he's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how the Steelers handle that. But elsewhere, there's another team that may be facing quarterback controversy soon. The Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins sucks. That's all I got there. He lost to the Lions, Rich.
There you go. That's all you have to say. Yeah. I
do want to expand on this.
Yeah, I know. Basically, this is a bonus feature for what's pissing me off for both of us.
And it's Alabama left and Alabama right. Come on, f***ing let me get your right stuff right. Get off stage, goddamn goo, you know. Piss me off, f***ing jerk. Get on my nerves.
Well, I'll tell you
what. That's exactly what Kirk Cousins is doing for me.
Yeah.
That effing jerk, he's getting on my nerves. This guy over here, swindled Minnesota out of hundreds of millions of fully guaranteed money because he could throw some touchdown passes and put up some yards, most of which I would wager if somebody broke down his gameplay time would be garbage time because he played for Washington for the majority of his career. Second, Minnesota was 13-3. They were one game away against an improbably good Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, any other year they would have been in the Super Bowl had it not been for the Eagles that year. Like, impossibly, like, it doesn't even make sense as a Disney movie how good the Eagles were. They were one game away from the Super Bowl. They have not even sniffed, you know, above average level of play since they brought in Kirk Cousins, the missing piece. I'm doing air quotes for audio only listeners. And I've been saying it for years. 4 years, Rich. This man knows how to put up stats. He doesn't know how to put up wins.
Yes. So for those that maybe you didn't understand the gist of why exactly that happened, Kirk Cousins, the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, they choked a big game to, out of all the teams, the Detroit Lions, the winless Detroit Lions.
I was so mad I just launched into it. I forgot to give people context.
Yes.
So thank you for having the calmer head of the two of us.
They did it. They lost to the winless Lions. The Lions are now 1-10-1 because of the Vikings' ineptitude.
And I get it. I hear the naysayers and the doubters, but it's a division rival. They're always tougher to play. Oh, come on now. It's late in the season. Things have changed. I don't care.
Oh, yeah, they are division rivals.
Yeah. Are they?
I don't. Yeah,
like are they?
Look, in my head, the Lions are so bad they just kind of exist outside of the NFL, and they just kind of randomly get brought in for games.
They're just a roving band of marauders in your mind. They just kind of like listlessly, you know, like meander through the league.
Yeah, like the Raiders should have been.
Right. Exactly. No, they're not rivals. I don't buy any of that BS.
Not this year.
No.
I would say that they're outclassed, but the Lions actually pulled out the win, so I don't know what to say.
The Lions only rival are themselves.
Yeah.
They're their own worst enemy. But no, to sum it up, Kirk Cousins sucks. He amasses all of his stats through garbage time, and he can put up numbers, but he can't put up wins. And it's always been the case.
Yes, unfortunately, that seems to be the case. And boy, this is just another unfortunate and embarrassing defeat that will go down under the pedigree information for Kirk Cousins. Boy, I don't know. As a team, when you lose a game to a team that was so hapless throughout this entire season, I don't know. How do you even, like, rally back? Like, I mean, I don't know. Do you just shake it off?
I mean, this late? I mean, I don't know.
You just got to shake it off and just be like, ah, that wasn't our best, and we just move forward? I mean, you literally gave the Detroit Lions their only win, and now we don't have the winless team. I was really hoping the Lions were going to do it, and they could have. They could have, but no, had to go and win a game. So
it's very sad and despicable. The Vikings are second in the NFC North. They're 5-7. There's just some really bad teams this year.
Yeah. Speaking of bad teams, let's get to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Great transition. That's right. We got to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. But we have a unique twist on this week's conversation because a Minshew mania is sweeping the Philadelphia area after the Philadelphia Eagles defeat the New York Jets. The amazing New York Jets, 33-18.
Oh. And that's what a lot of Philadelphia sports talk is doing after Minshew pulling off a win here.
Go ahead, address the issue at hand.
Yeah,
here.
Stop it. Just stop it. It's Gardner Minshew.
Do you really think the Eagles' top brass is going to be like, you know what? Yeah, let's go with the mullet.
Yeah.
Do you really think Jeffrey Lurie is? Do you really think Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie are sitting there going, you know what? Yeah,
let's go with that mustache.
Look, guys.
Let's go with Uncle Rico.
Not only did they get rid of Wentz, not only did they basically create their own quarterback controversy, drop a second round pick on Hurts, and struggle through the first 12 games of the season to say, you know what? No, our plan isn't good. Let's go the other way. In the last four, are you people stupid? I mean, there's no way in hell that they're just going to about face and name Minshew the starter.
Look, Gardner Minshew told me that he could throw a football over them mountains over there. That's pretty impressive.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes, Uncle Rico.
You know, so I'll say this.
That's some quality NFL analysis.
Full disclosure, I don't hate Gardner Minshew. No. I think the Eagles scored on their first seven drives, which I don't know, you know, when the last time they've done something like that. Gardner Minshew put up pretty much a perfect game, 20 for 25, 240 yards, two touchdowns, hardly, you know, touched in the pocket, only two sacks, put up a quarterback rating over 130. Jalen Hurts hasn't been able to do anything like that, but it doesn't mean that Jalen Hurts is going to lose his starting job. Not after all the time and capital and resources they invested in Jalen Hurts. So for people that are calling for Minshew to start, I mean, guys, how many times have we been over this? AJ Feely, Jeff Garcia, Michael Vick, Nick Foles. Nick Foles again. Jalen Hurts.
Nick Foles again.
Guys, enough.
Yeah. Why is it the best quarterback in the public eye is always the backup quarterback here in Philadelphia? It's never the starter.
Because they come in, the bar is set so low. So coming into the season, everyone's like, Jalen Hurts is going to lead them to the playoffs. Yeah, right. So the bar was set incredibly high for Jalen Hurts. He doesn't meet it. Immediately crucified. The bar has been lowered throughout the season. Backup comes in, steals a win against a bad opponent. And because he crosses the bar, everybody thinks this is it. This is now the path forward. I mean, it is a tale as old as time. We've seen this so many times before with the Philadelphia Eagles fan base in general. But I don't think it's unique to Philadelphia. I think it's just human psychology. You know, we're prepared for the worst. We get the complete opposite. And so everybody's, you know, tricking themselves into thinking, oh my gosh, this is now, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. The real answer, unfortunately, is way less interesting and way more depressing. Neither of these guys is the future of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
And I think that's the tough pill that we all got to swallow these next four games, because Jalen Hurts is going to come back. He's going to throw one touchdown a game, run for 100 yards, and maybe complete 50% of his passes. We're going to finish out the rest of the season making the playoffs at 9-8, immediately leave in the first round. We're going to get like the 20th overall pick, the 21st overall pick, because Indianapolis decided to be good. So we're going to
pick good.
Two linemen back-to-back, and we're going to suffer through next year as well and wait for Jalen Hurts to finish out his rookie contract before we actually go and find a real quarterback, because I don't think either of these guys has the talent to be the guy in Philadelphia. I just don't.
Yeah.
I know Minshew's – everybody loves Minshew right now. He's not the answer, but neither is Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think that's the – do you think that's a bad scenario, though? Because, I mean, I kind of think that's kind of the game plan is – especially with the way that this season is playing out, the Eagles probably aren't going to get a top five pick on their own. The Dolphins actually got good, too.
Yeah, this sucks. We have three first-round picks, and all of a sudden, they're all dropping.
Yeah, they're all middling. So, I mean, would it be the worst-case scenario that we get three good linemen three picks on the offense and defensive line in the first round?
I mean, we definitely do need to bolster our lines. And nobody here wants to sit here and watch us take three linemen in the first round, but there's a not insignificant chance that we take three linemen in the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Lane Johnson isn't getting any younger. We don't know what Brandon Brooks is doing. I know they have some young guys that they like, but Jason Kelsey's about to retire.
Yeah, he's on his last
like
legs.
Any day now. And on the defensive line, Fletcher Cox is on the downside of his career. Brandon Graham probably won't be here. You know, he might be here next year. He might not be here the following year. You got to start rebuilding these lines somehow. And also, our secondary needs some work, too. We have a really good secondary right now, surprisingly, because of Darius Slay. But again, he's on the wrong side of 30. So you need to start thinking ahead and drafting young guys to come up behind these guys.
Yep. So, you know, I think that's kind of where the full plan evolves.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is nuts, this whole Minshew mania thing. He beat the Jets. All right.
Right.
Look, come on. Let's be honest here. The Jets are just like a small podium above the Lions at this rate.
Right. Exactly.
We fleeced the Jets with Joe Flacco.
They're a bottom five team.
Yeah. So look. Also, the Eagles still maintain a perfect record against the Jets.
They do. They're like 12-0, aren't they?
Yeah.
Something like
that. Eagles have never lost a regular season game to the Jets. So There you go. Take that, New York.
We're undefeated.
Yeah, at least in one department.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That was the Eagles game there. But we got a little bit of time here. I want to bring up one more game that happened this past week.
Sure.
And that is the Monday night game that happened. Buffalo Bills versus the New England Patriots.
Oh, we got to talk about this.
This was a crazy game. I knew it was going to be a crazy game. I had gotten a tweet that said, you got to check out the pregame warm-up videos. And I did on ESPN, and it was ridiculous. The kickers couldn't kick a point after touchdown. The wind was blowing anywhere from 35 to as much as 55 miles per hour
wow.
in this game. And originally, at the beginning of the warm-up, snow fell, but luckily the snow tapered off. But still, the wind was the biggest factor in this game. And that led to this surprising stat that the New England Patriots pull off a win. But Mac Jones, their quarterback, only attempted to pass three times in that game, which is one of the top five times in NFL history, the fewest amount of passing attempts to pull out a win.
I mean, the stat line looks like something that a starting quarterback would put up in a preseason game.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, he goes out there for one drive. No, this was a complete... The stat line is 2 for 3. I mean, he completed 66% of his passes.
Because 2 out of 3 ain't bad. When the wind is blowing and you cannot throw.
It's true.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. Okay.
Yep, anyway.
Continue.
19 yards... 0 sacks, 0 interceptions, 0 touchdowns, and a quarterback rating of 84.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, not terrible. I love this, though. The leading receiver was Jonnu Smith with 1 reception for 12 yards. Do you know who the 1 missed reception is? Nelson Aguilar.
It was Aguilar.
He was targeted once. He didn't catch any passes.
Oh, what a shocker.
He prevented Mac Jones from getting 100% completion rate.
Damn it, Nelson Aguilar.
What a jerk. No, I mean, this is crazy. When I saw the headlines, you know, only completed 2 passes, I'm like, how did they manage to pull away with a win here? 220 yards on the ground. But the bigger story here is Buffalo's absolute collapse
the
past several weeks. I mean, they started the season, what, 5-2?
Yep.
They're now sitting at 7-5. And they are...
And now the Patriots have moved into first place in the AFC.
First overall in the AFC without Tom Brady. I mean, everybody said, oh, clearly it was Tom Brady because he went and won a Super Bowl. Here are the New England Patriots coming back just as strong. They had that one little bump in the road last season. They may have found their guy, Mac Jones. I mean, the guy only needs to throw twice in a game to win.
Oh, by the way, go back on the Jets on how bad they are.
Yeah.
The Jets had a chance to pick Mac Jones.
God, they're awful.
Mac Jones confirmed he's going to be a Hall of Famer now.
Yeah, well, yes, for that fact alone.
Yes. But I did watch this game. This was actually a really fun game to watch because it was all running. It was all ground and pound, run versus defense. Special teams was horrible. They couldn't punt the ball. That was hilarious. There was a punt. Just weird. It literally just like... It went forward and then just like an instant arc downfield. It was it was so bizarre. I think
like hit like what a wall of wind and just.
Yeah, it got up to its peak in the punt and then just went down and to the right. And I think it was like a 14-yard punt when all was said and done.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, it's like at that rate, you might
at
as well
that
go,
rate, yeah,
go
just
for
go
it
for
on
it.
Fourth down. Yeah.
Yeah, why bother punting when there's gusts of 50-plus mile-an-hour wind?
Yeah.
You know?
It was bizarre. It was a crazy game to watch. Perfect for a Monday Night Football because I was watching from the comfort of my own home. But for those players, man, it must have been frustrating. But it was a great game to watch. I don't know. I'm kind of two minds on this because I don't want this to happen all the time. But at the same time, when it does happen, it's like I want to watch. This is crazy.
I mean. I would rather a shootout than a ground and pound because ground and pound can get boring.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to see, because we've been become so accustomed to a passing league and pass first offenses.
It's good to have this refresher that no, you still need to run the ball.
Right, exactly. And you get to see a different type of game. It's I imagine it would have been very interesting. I didn't watch it, but I imagine it would have been very interesting to watch it.
Yeah. And it was just one of those. You know, maybe go back and watch some of the highlights, or maybe if you can find that punt, that's hilarious. But overall, just one of those I had to mark in the record books of just like, wow, that was an interesting game. Just I don't know if we're ever going to see a game like that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if the same conditions exist,
maybe
we'll see that again. But also, I think you need the right team too. Like Bill Belichick is an old school football coach. Mentality that you start with the run.
I mean, defense helped win that game as well.
Yeah.
Because in my lifetime of watching football, I don't think I've ever seen a game where a quarterback only throws three times and they end up winning.
Yeah.
Maybe throw three times and lose, but not win. Like, that's really impressive, especially an offense like the Bills, to keep them in check, you know, especially when your offense is completely one-dimensional. That's pretty talented right there.
Yeah. So, and hey, another reason why the Patriots are sitting in the number one slot in the AFC right now. This is crazy. It's not.
Well, you brought up.
It's not out of the realm to imagine that this Super Bowl could be Patriots versus Buccaneers. I mean,
I know I'm going to get flack for this, but I think that would be cool. I mean, think of the storylines. Think of the narratives. Think about the media hype, the circus surrounding the game if it was Belichick versus Brady.
Yeah. It would be very interesting, and the media would have a field day with it, and Mike would confirm his status as a secret Tom Brady fan. But yeah, it would be interesting to watch as well.
Yeah, who would I root for? My secret favorite team, the New England Patriots, or my secret favorite quarterback, Tom Brady? I don't know.
What do you do, Mike?
I would be so torn.
Yeah, I don't know what you would do. Luckily, he's got a couple more weeks to figure that out before the Super Bowl happens. But for right now, we got to wrap this part of the show up. We'll take a break, but coming up, we still got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. I've got a couple interesting ones that you'll need to hear, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
Ready for the weekend? Happy Friday. Hi, my name's Marie, and I'm an artist who's been making Happy Friday doodles every week for over 7 years. And now you can own my art collection in this Volume 1 and Volume 2 art series. These doodles span across multiple themes, yearly festivities, various countries, languages, and more. Both coffee table books have something for everyone and are the perfect conversation starter or gift for a friend. Really, anyone who enjoys a good weekend. Available on Amazon, Ingram, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble, and more. Visit happyfridaydoodles.com/books and get your copies today. Let's celebrate the best day of the week. Happy Friday.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. Very interesting times right now with the NFL. And basketball is also in the middle of their season as well.
Is that still a thing, basketball?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Maybe not in Mikey's world, but definitely in the sports world it is as well. Unfortunately, the Sixers aren't doing too well, so... That's why we're kind of...
We trusted the process, but did the process trust us?
No, it didn't, so we're dropping it like a bad habit. Take that.
And that's the extent of our basketball analysis.
Yes, at least for right now.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we'll jump to our second part of the show where we go over some movie, music, and celebrity news and video game news. It's the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Oh, yeah, time for Entertainment Entree. What are we doing first in this? I just realized I forgot to print out my rundown because the ink in the printer went out.
Yeah,
so
we didn't have any ink. It's sorry. This week in entertainment.
We're doing this week in entertainment. All right, there you go. That's right. Perfect. So let's get it going. Yes, it's the segment where Mike is going to let you know what's coming up this weekend. To keep an eye out for it with movies and music and stuff like that. So, Mike, what should we keep an eye out for?
All right. Well, first up in film, in movies.
In film, yes.
In film, yes. We have the adaptation of West Side Story from director Steven Spielberg.
That's this weekend?
That's weekend. Coming to theaters this week.
Oh, my gosh. The end, man, this whole year's going to... It's crazy. It's the end.
It's already done.
Yeah.
I mean, the year's basically over. But luckily, we get to close things off with a good one here. It's already reviewing favorably with a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes with an average rating of 8.3 out of 10. Everyone knows the classic story of star-crossed lovers whose romance pits two warring gangs against each other in 1950s New York. So while it might not be a seasonal flick, it's definitely something to check out because it's getting really good reviews, and it's Spielberg.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting a decent pick when you're seeing a Spielberg flick.
Spielberg?
Spielberg. Jesus.
Pittsburgh Steelers are involved in this?
I am just stumbling over all my words. You know why? Because of this TV show coming out. This was just announced, I think, this week. Just when you thought you were done, they pull you back in. This was just announced this month. Netflix wasn't satisfied with one season of Tiger King or even two. Now the streaming service is premiering Tiger King, The Doc Antle Story this Friday.
There's more Tiger King?
There's more Tiger King. This was just announced, Rich.
What? Wait. Hold on.
This literally came out a few days ago, this announcement.
What the hell is happening? Why?
So now there's a three-part docuseries that follows specifically the weird sex cult / zoo entrepreneur from Tiger King Season 1, Doc Antle, and goes over his whole history and everything. When they said at the end of Season 1 that there's way more to this than we realize... They've now created
a universe.
It's a whole universe.
There's a Tiger King universe now.
It's a TKU. TKU, the Tiger King universe.
Yeah, TKU. Not TKO, TKU.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah, Tiger King, the Doc Antle story comes out this Friday on Netflix. So,
dear God.
I haven't even finished season two yet.
Yeah. Oh, wow. All right. I feel far behind now. I didn't realize.
Yeah,
there was
I only saw two episodes so far. I got to really pick things up.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Netflix. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there really this much material?
Apparently.
All right.
Two and a half seasons, basically, of Tiger King.
Okay. Wow.
You know what else people can't get enough of, though,
boy.
Rich?
What else?
Video games. A new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers.
It's Super Mario 75.
Super Mario 75. That's right. Tiger King
82.
They should make a Tiger King video game. I don't know.
Probably already in development at this rate.
But anyway, the real big news in video games comes from the world of Xbox with the release of the highly anticipated Halo Infinite coming to Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and PC this week. The long-standing critical and commercial smash hit is making its debut on the latest Xbox consoles. Both the development and the release have been plagued by delays and controversy about downgraded visuals and missing features, but despite all of that, it's reviewing really well, and shooter and Xbox fans alike will probably enjoy being back in the world of Master Chief. This is the first time since 2015 that Xbox fans will get to jump into a Halo game, and it's the first time in the series that they have a semi-open world, so I know that a lot of Xbox fans are probably really excited about that. Go check out Halo Infinite coming out this week, and that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right. Thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment.
No problem. But we're not done with video game news just yet. That's right. The rumor mill has been abuzz with this latest.
Lading, yeah.
Jesus, man.
This
lighting between Kirk Cousins and Tiger King. I'm so flustered, Rich.
This lighting snooze right here.
There's light. Yeah. But
I got some lady news right here.
Lady news? No, not lady news.
Lady news?
No, but some.
Got some lady news right here for you. Brought to you by two men.
By two men? Not two men, but I think Take Two, I think, is the developer or the producer behind this video game series. That's right. We have a little bit of BioShock news. There's been a couple of leaks, a couple of rumors, and this time, some confirmations. There's two separate reports that are saying that they now know that BioShock 4 will take place in a fictional Antarctic city in the 1960s. They've also said that the game has been in development since at least 2019, so they're at least probably two and a half years into development, and also that they suggest that the city of the game, as everyone knows, the city is a major character in the BioShock universes, and that each city is amazing and important, and this one has its own unique name. It could be called Borealis.
Aurora Borealis?
Yes! Right. Is it time for Aurora Borealis?
At this time of the year, in this part of the country.
Aurora Borealis. At this time of year, at this time of day, in this part of the country, localized entirely within your kitchen.
Yes.
May I see it?
No.
No. So no. There you go. That's actually the final quote on this. Can I see BioShock?
No. No. If that quote is not in the game, I'll be very disappointed.
It's got to be in there somewhere. That's too good not to have.
Aurora Borealis at the bottom of the ocean in the middle
in
of the sky.
In this lighthouse. In this part of the universe.
May I see it? A man chooses. No, but I'm really, really excited to hear about this. So we joked about it years ago. Where could they go? They went to the ocean. They went to the sky. Where could they go? We joked.
Go to hell.
They're going
to
go underground. That is exactly what people are theorizing online.
I mean, it makes sense. That would be the next logical
jump. Especially with the Antarctic, right? Antarctica, yeah. Like, where do you go? How do you stay warm? What is there? There's nothing there. You drill down. There's always this, like, mysterious allure to the Arctic where it's like nothing can live on the surface, but what's down below? You always see those science articles where people are like, oh, they took an ice core out and they found microorganisms that are millions of years old. It sounds very mysterious and sci-fi. So the thinking is that we're going underground in Antarctica. I don't know how that ties into the rest of the series because, again, the reports do say that they believe it will be connected to the previous entries in the series. So somehow it will tie in to BioShock 1, 2, and Infinite. And the timeline specifically, the 1960s, this is BioShock 2 era,
right?
The 1960s. So there might be some kind of connection. The new developer is being given a lot of freedom and a lot of leeway to get it right because the publishers and the producers know it's going to be compared immediately to the original trilogy, specifically to the Ken Levine games.
Yeah.
And the developers know.
Yeah, that's my concern. Is just
right.
Ken Levine is BioShock.
Right.
Because they tried to go separate ways on BioShock 2, and BioShock 2 just wasn't up to snuff.
It's like the weird, like, redheaded stepchild of the entire trilogy.
Yeah, the story wasn't as good, and it's definitely the weak link between 1, 2, and Infinite.
Right. We've always said the actual trilogy is 1, Infinite, and Burial at Sea.
Yeah. That's the true trilogy.
Well, maybe here's hoping that BioShock Borealis or BioShock Antarctica or BioShock Cold Winter Day, whatever they want to call it, maybe this can be...
I like BioShock Borealis.
BioShock Borealis, BB.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, I'm really excited to learn more about this. Again, they say it's been in development since at least 2019, which means they probably started pre-production in 2018. So you're looking at probably 3 years under development right now. We could see a release maybe 2023 with an announcement next year. Maybe, fingers crossed.
I mean, it depends on, if it's ready to go and how fast they want to get it out.
I mean, as of next year, we would have been, what, 10 years since the last mainline BioShock game.
Yeah.
So way overdue for a BioShock game. I want to see what the new consoles can do with a game like BioShock that always has some sort of like, you know, twist and turn and some sort of time manipulation feature. The new consoles would be perfect for that. You know, utilizing that new hardware to its fullest advantage. But any BioShock news is good news for me. So had to bring this up and tell everybody about this because we're huge BioShock fans. Hopefully some of you are as well. So we'll keep you posted if there's any more news. I'm really hoping for an announcement in the next year.
Yep, would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to get to our final topic here in the entertainment entree. And this is something that I definitely wanted to talk about. And that is a review that was made by one of my favorite YouTube channels, Red Letter Media. They did a scathing review of the new Ghostbusters Afterlife movie, which unfortunately didn't, for the most part, hasn't lived up to expectations. I mean, most critical reviews have come back mediocre to negative. It is what it is. It's another attempt to try and revive this broken down franchise from the 80s. But I think what Red Letter Media said in the first part of their review is pretty much accurate as to how you're supposed to handle a movie like this if you're the typical movie-going audience. So I just want to play a quick minute from the beginning of the review that I think is pretty hilarious. So here we go. This is Red Letter Media's quick takedown of their review of Ghostbusters Afterlife that they published recently. Here is the clip.
This is the latest entry in our continuing collective pop culture equivalent of the Chris Farley Show.
You remember in Something Wild when Melanie Griffith had you handcuffed to the bed? Remember that?
Yeah. Remember when you were with the Beatles?
Remember Chris Farley? Do you remember the Ghostbusters? You love Ghostbusters, but more importantly, you love the idea of loving Ghostbusters. Remember Twinkies? Remember the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? Remember the Nestle's Crunch Bar that Bill Murray handed Harold Ramis in a throwaway improvised gag? Remember who you gonna call? Remember Gozer? Remember the fireman's pole?
Hey, does this pole still work?
Remember the terror dogs? Remember the terror dog statues? Remember the terror dog's arms ripping through a chair? Remember Evo Shandor? Remember the stacked books?
You're right, no human being would stack books like this.
Remember spores, mold, and fungus? Remember Revelation 6:12?
I remember Revelation 7:12.
Remember looking at map exposition? Remember main characters in jail? Remember the eyeball ghost toy from the cartoon? Remember there is no Dana, only Zool? Remember literally the entire third act of the first movie? I love the 80s. Hey, remember cocaine? Cocaine was one of the key creative ingredients in putting together the original, an ingredient that is sadly missing from Ghostbusters Afterlife, resulting in a movie aimed exclusively at babies and adult babies that think I Love Ghostbusters is a substitute for a real personality, because nostalgia is the new cocaine.
All right, so there you go. That was just their quick scathing minute intro. If you want to check it out, the whole thing is like an hour long, but it's worth it. Man, they put up some great critical reviews of movies at Red Letter Media. But basically their consensus is that there's now kind of a reboot formula that is now being utilized by Hollywood to try and restart all these projects from the 80s and the 90s and stuff like that. And that's basically what you do is you have your new characters inside the saga.
Right.
And that's like your first act of the reboot, is introducing those new characters. Then the second act is you bring in some of the old faces, the old familiar faces from the original movie that you want to reboot. So in Ghostbusters' case, that's when you bring back your Ray Stantz, your Venkman, all that stuff. And then the third act is literally a carbon copy of the first movie, but the new blood is the main actors in the retelling of the third act. And it's a formula that started with The Force Awakens, And I've got to say, I think they're kind of right on this, that because of, not essentially because of The Force Awakens, but because of how the media kind of, or critical reviews and fan reviews saw The Force Awakens in a better light, that that's kind of the safest way to reboot a franchise, is by following this kind of new formula, is new characters introduced, then you integrate them with the old characters, then you do the exact same storyline from the original movie, but with the new characters inserted, and wash your hands, boom, you've rebooted a series. So, I mean, I think, you know, obviously it's not, so, you know, as cookie cutter as it, but I think that is what kind of what the Hollywood movie studios are kind of doing. And it's kind of bizarre to me that this is kind of the production facility that is churning out these movies.
So, yes, I agree with you. I do want to make a couple of key points here. One, you're right in that it probably began with The Force Awakens. But I will say this. The difference is that The Force Awakens was actually, and I know you disagree, was actually a good movie. When you look at it critically and commercially, it was widely regarded as a success. I mean, looking at Rotten Tomatoes, 95%, 8.3 out of 10 rating. I mean, the critics agreed this was a quality movie. Ghostbusters is not. And this is the
Yeah, Afterlife, yep.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And this is the problem that we're seeing, is that they took that formula and now they're abusing it. Whereas where I think it largely worked for The Force Awakens, because I think they did things different enough that made it unique and stand on its own. From what I'm understanding from you and Ghostbusters is that it is so heavily slanted towards the nostalgia,
yes,
that it almost doesn't stand on its own. It's basically, I think, a very lazy form of storytelling, because, and people will probably get on me, like, as a Disney fan, aren't the live action remakes basically the same thing? Yes, they are, but they're changing mediums from animated to live action. So that enough is, I think, of a change to, I don't think they're warranted, but at least there's somewhat of a challenge in going from animated to live action. This is, you're taking basically the same exact thing. You're just swapping out actors. You don't have to change mediums. You're just swapping in new faces.
That's right.
But it's the same beats. It's the same story. You're not even changing the methods and the means of the storytelling.
Right.
So
I don't know. I guess just in case, maybe I'll just play spoilers.
Right, play
case.
Some spoilers in case you want to get into specifics.
It's a spoiler! Ooh, it's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
So, one of the things that really is a testament to what you just said is the fact that in Afterlife, the enemies are exactly, the spirits are exactly the same. They're these kids are literally dealing with Vince Clortho and
Gozer
and Zool. Not Slimer. They did have the sense to take out Slimer for some reason.
Now that's stupid, because that would have been an easy hit of nostalgia.
Yeah, but they still went with Zool, Vince Clortho, and Gozer. So it's like, did anything really change then? Like, you're literally copying and pasting the same villains.
See, this is where I'll support. I know this comment. I know this isn't about The Force Awakens, but it's about the larger topic of the formula. And when you're looking at the formula, at least The Force Awakens took a modified enemy. They made Kylo Ren related to the heroes. Right, which I guess the original Star Wars did too, but it was the son instead of the father figure. Rey rejects the call, whereas Luke wanted to embrace it. So you have some structural differences in the main beats, right, into how they approach things. I'm not getting that vibe from Ghostbusters.
No. It's still basically the same, especially the last third of it. It's basically the same movie, just different actors playing the roles. That's exactly what it is.
I think the big problem here with this new trend is that, you know, nostalgia has always been a big driving force, especially with our generation specifically, millennials, loves nostalgia. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made a weird CG remake of the Rugrats on Paramount Plus, which I watched and it was terrible.
Yeah, that sounds weird too.
It was really weird. But the problem with this overemphasis on nostalgia and the way they're approaching these remakes is that they're taking franchises that don't really have any substance. And before everybody gets on me and says Ghostbusters doesn't have any substance, do you really think they set out making Ghostbusters 1 thinking, we're going to make a lore book, we're going to have a large universe, and we're going to write down the rules and the quote-unquote the magic system and the actual science fiction elements. We're going to determine all of these intricate relationships and this overarching plot. No, they didn't.
No.
Don't tell me for a second any of these 80s films...
No, well, Ghostbusters was supposed to be just a comedy first.
Right.
Then it just happened to deal with ghosts and paranormal and stuff like that.
Right, but the point I'm making, this is not Star Wars, where there is a massive lore. There's a world, quote-unquote world. This is not Lord of the Rings. This is not Game of Thrones. This is not Harry Potter, where there's worlds that exist and persist outside of the film that dictate the rules and the events and the characters. This was just a blockbuster. There was no expanded universe. So they're trying to take something that was a one-off, and they're trying to give it the same grandiose overarching plot. They're trying to make it seem like, oh, Gozer was always behind it. No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, I know he was, maybe. I didn't see the movie, I'm assuming. I know he was for the intent of the narrative, but not really. He wasn't intended to be. And that's why it rings false. Because they didn't start off that way, and you're trying to shoehorn it in that way. Just like going back to Star Wars, because I'd like to circle back to, you know, how this trend started. With Palpatine.
Yes.
He was never... I don't think he was ever intended to be the puppet master through all 9 films. Or else he would have been...
Not through the sequel trilogy. Nuh-uh. Right. Or else, absolutely not.
Or else he would have been more of a force. So, you know, you look at something like that, you can see how it rings false, where you're like, that was not laid out properly. We did not get a sense of, you know, the presence of this villain at all. The same thing's happening here, except it's just broken up by 30 years and it's a remake. You can't try to force a connection, an overarching plot line, where one was not intended from the start.
Yeah.
You can't, because viewers will pick up on it.
Yeah. I think it's also a sign that just, I don't know, that the movie studios are willing to go this route. That
it's
they
so
have
lazy.
A formula. Yeah, that it's lazy, but it's a quick formula. That it's a great middle ground, because
but
you'll
you know
get...
what it's it what's crazy about it is there's already a formula that works. It's called, look it up, I believe it's Joseph Campbell, the monomyth, the what we know as the hero's journey, which is what Star Wars follows, which is what Ghostbusters follows, or at least this afterlife sounds like it follows. Anyway, you have in Act One, you have the people discovering the new or magic world. Then you have the gatekeepers come in Act 2, and they lead them into the other world, and they explain the world. This is where the old guys come back, and they're probably like, this is how Ghostbusting's actually done, kid. Right? I assume, for all intents and purposes. Act 3 is how their experiences in the new world, or the different world, affect their perspectives of their own life and the events of their own lives. Star Wars follows that. The Godfather follows that. Every major story, if you really lay it out, follows the hero's journey. So there's already a formula that they could have easily followed and made a really satisfying film.
So basically take that, but replace Act 3 with just copy
with
from
just a copy and
successful
paste.
80s
right.
movie.
I think, hear me out here, I think that if they had done Act 3 differently, and if they had committed to using new villains, Ghostbusters Afterlife may have been critically well-received.
It would have helped.
I think what rings false is their over-reliance on past tropes and nostalgia.
Yes. That's kind of the overarching message that Red Letter Media has in this review.
It's really frustrating, because formula is part of storytelling. This is now turning into like a master's class. The formula is part of it, though. There's already a formula.
Yeah, but I think it's rough when you're trying to go back to the cash register and get like the last little bit of of movie ticket sales from a Ghostbusters, from a Star Wars, from a Top Gun. Ah! Yeah.
I'm really, you know, going back, you just mentioned it, another 80s franchise, really interested to see how Top Gun comes out. You know, because I think it's going to be the same thing. I mean, probably. Time and again, these 80s and 90s reboots, it's the same story every single time. I mean, both literally and figuratively.
Yeah. So, yeah.
This episode's been a lot of pissing me off.
Yeah, and that might be one that pisses us off when Top Gun hits theaters in summer for some reason. Taking forever for that movie to come out.
It's not going to make as much money as you think it's going to make.
Yep.
People who are trying to delay it until people are ready to go to theaters.
Yep, good luck with that.
That's done. Just release it digitally.
Yeah, at that point. But with that, we got to wrap up the entertainment entree and get to our last part of the show where I've got some crazy odd news and the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the Don Fortune Cookie Odd News here in this segment. Rich researches the news. I react to the news.
We already have an explosion.
You know, that's fine because I messed up my spiel anyway. What is happening? I keep stumbling over my words. Sound effects are just coming in out of nowhere.
You gotta love the soundboard every now and then. When I don't treat it right, it just randomly...
It just randomly goes off like a bomb.
That definitely was unplanned. I was not ready for that.
You know what,
one.
Though? It was oddly appropriate because I messed up my spiel. Anyway, Rich researches the news. He reads the news. Then I react to the news. That's the...
Sure about that?
That's the order of events. Okay, but the basic gist of it is he finds a story, keeps it hidden from me. All my reactions are my genuine gut reactions. So I'm ready to get started. These stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. Where are we going to in the odd news? We're going to Florida?
Actually, no, for right now. We're going to go to Twitter, actually.
Twitter a place? What state's it in?
We're going to Twitter because we got to give a Crispy Noodle shout out.
Oh,
we know we say it on the air here that if you have a story you want us to talk about, send it our way. And guess what? We did have someone that sent us an odd news that they want us to talk about.
I love it when people send us stories.
So Crispy Noodle shout out to at Joe Shepek. J-O-E-S-C-H-E-P-P-A-E-Q. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but at Joe Shepek, that's what I'm going to go with. You got a sausage shout out.
Sausage!
He's a big fan.
That one's for you.
Yeah.
Sausage!
Yay!
And a yay. There you
and
go.
And a yay.
Sausage!
Yay!
There you go.
He's a big fan. Big fan. I see him quite active on Twitter.
Well, he wanted us to talk about this story.
Okay.
That is home, Pennsylvania.
Uh-oh. Wait, how close to home?
Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
Greensburg. I've never heard of Greensburg. I'm going to look it up. Go ahead.
Well, it's short but sweet, you got to love some wacky reasonings here. We're going to talk about 19-year-old Elijah Flick Jebel.
Wow. What a name. Elijah Flick Jebel?
Yep, what a name. Unfortunately, you're not going to like what he did.
Oh, no.
Because he decided to, quote, slap a 20-month-old toddler in a hospital.
What?
Because the heavens told him to do so.
She's not a Christian!
Pow.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Slapped a 20-month-old?
Yep.
Because God told him. God's like, screw that baby in particular.
Yes. That baby is bad.
It's like, cool baby, cute baby,
I'm going through my list.
Screw you.
I'm going through my list here. And Billy, he shall be slapped. Tell him.
And then Flick.
She's not a Christian.
What's his name? Flick Slapper? What was it? Flick Settle? What was the name? Flick Settles?
No, his real name is Elijah Flick Jibel.
Oh, Jibel.
Jibel.
Jingle Jangle. Have you ever seen that movie on Netflix?
Jingle Jibber, yeah. Jingle Jibber, Jibble Hammersmith.
Jabberwocky. Flick Jabberwocky. So, Jabberwocky is the official God Slapper.
Yes.
Okay.
Quote,
he's the right hand of God.
Yes. So when he was restrained by hospital staff, he then told nurses, quote, I was triggered by the baby.
Triggered?
Yeah.
Hashtag triggered.
And then when cops arrived, he then told them that, quote, God told me that I needed to complete tests to get into heaven. And this was one of them.
What?
She's not a Christian!
What is this stupid video game side quest like tracker? I have to slap X number of babies to get to the night. This sounds like a game I'm playing on my stupid phone. You have to like
slap that baby.
You gotta tap so many times. Is this what it is? You gotta slap the baby?
Slap that baby.
Oh my God.
Oh man. I just wanna know. How exactly did God tell you this?
I mean, God just showed up on a cloud and said, I need you to slap X number of babies
like
before you get into heaven.
I need to see the actual list where God has the cool babies and the crappy babies. Like, they suck. Slap those.
Yeah, right?
They suck.
They suck. Screw that baby.
When did God become Philadelphian? Those babies suck. Get rid of them. Boo!
There's a little bit of Philly in everyone, even
slap
God.
Them, boo!
No, the list I want to see, though, is this list of objectives this guy has to do.
Yeah, that's right.
If slap a baby is on this list, what else is on this list? Who else is he slapping?
Yeah.
What other shenanigans is he getting up to?
There's going to be a...
slapping babies.
Yeah, there's got to be a side quest
that
list.
That poor kid!
Yeah.
Oh, my. That's horrible.
If you're worried about the baby, police just said that the baby only had redness and no other signs of injuries. So,
OK, good.
He didn't get a good slap.
He didn't get a full wind up.
Right.
That's awful. And you said this was in a hospital?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. You couldn't just slap a healthy kid? You have to pick a sickly kid in the hospital. What the hell?
Well, apparently God just... There's that one kid at this hospital.
That one particular kid. I know he's already sick, but you slapped the ever-loving hell out of that kid.
He's a devil already. He needs to be taken out right now.
Demon?
Stop calling it that.
Demon.
Stop it. Stop talking to it.
No, I just want to talk to the demons.
That one-year-old is already going to be a demon.
Plunge us into darkness, demons! Demons!
Oh, my God.
Demons, you cowards!
He's going to slap the sin right out of them.
Yeah.
That just dawned on me. He did this in a hospital. This poor kid's like, oh, I'm going in to, you know, get, I don't know, I have a broken arm or something. This guy just shows up. Pow, slaps him right in the face.
Yep. So, true story there. What a story.
What was it, Greensburg? This is
Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
This is actually a huge town. It's got a population of 14,000 people in the suburbs of Pittsburgh. Get your act together, Greensburg. Stop slapping babies. What the hell's wrong with you?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that one-year-old had some demonic... possession in him already? I don't know. Does it work that young? I have no idea.
Sure.
Hey there, demons. It's me, your boy.
Literally a boy. Yeah, there you go.
Hey there, demons. It's me, your boy.
I think that's how that guy introduced himself. He's like, hello, demons. It's me, your boy. And just slap the baby.
There you go.
Slap the demons right out of him.
Yep. he was sent to the county prison after failing to post a $50,000 bond. Wow. All
wow.
right.
Wow. Slapping babies okay. is expensive.
Oh.
What it is. That's an expensive slap right there. $50,000 a slap? Jesus. I mean, we've had a lot of odd news stories. You could slap a lot of other things for way cheaper. We've had stories where you can throw food at people. You can, like, throw sex toys at people for a fraction of the cost. I mean, if you're really going bang for your buck, it's not babies.
Oh, my God. That's the best out-of-context sentence.
Slapping babies is expensive.
Man, slapping babies is expensive.
Just isolate that. Slapping babies is expensive.
Oh, my God. Wow. Just, there you go. Stuff you learn here on the Crispy Stuff Noodle
you
Podcast.
Learn. If we still had that segment, that's what we would have learned.
Slapping babies is expensive. Woo.
Oh, God, that's good.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know. I had another story, but honestly, I kind of want to end the show on that.
You do whatever your wow. heart tells you to, Rich. If you want to end on slapping babies, then you end on slapping babies.
Oof. Slapping babies is expensive.
Slap you're, a baby.
You're right, Mike. How insightful.
I mean, think about it. Slapping that baby cost that guy $50,000.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess you're right about that, technically. Good job. But I do have another short story that I want to report on.
Okay, let's do it.
And I know you're going to love this story, so it's worth it. It's worth it. We're going to go a little extended edition here on the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. Because now from home, we're going to go and jump the pond, go to England in this story.
Oh, merry old England.
Yep.
Shine your shoes, Governor. Tea and crumpets. That's the only, it's a Cockney accent. That's the only accent I can do.
There you go. Well, you're going to love this story. I know you are. This is so many questions.
Okay.
And as usual, not a whole lot of information is explicitly known.
Of course.
But the first sentence just lays it all out on the line. Get ready, Mike.
Okay.
A bomb disposal team had to be called to an English hospital Wednesday morning after a man arrived with, quote, an unexploded World War II mortar stuck in his rectum. Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. You're right. Yes.
What? You're right. There are a lot of questions.
Yes.
How did he get his hands on an unexploded mortar? How did he insert it without it exploding? Oh, my God.
According to local newspapers, the patient who has been who has remained unnamed is a military enthusiast. And has
well, I'd say. Doesn't get much more enthusiastic than that. Fucking hell. Oh, I love my World War II paraphernalia. Whoop.
Oh, God.
No, they're supposed to shoot out the tube, not go up the tube. Guy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's a military enthusiast. You bet your bottom daughter.
He bet his bottom something.
So he is a military enthusiast and had traveled the world to create his private collection of memorabilia. According to the story that he gave the doctor,
I can't wait to hear this one.
He said that he had put the mortar on the ground.
Oh my God, not this again.
And then when he looked away, he slipped and fell on it with his posterior.
Let me get this straight. He's just out and about in his home, butt naked. He's carrying his mortar, as he does every morning. He's carrying his mortar around. Because I assume if you're naked, you're either getting ready for bed or you're getting out of bed. So it's in the morning.
This is my favorite mortar.
Takes it to bed, wakes up in the morning, puts it on the ground. He gets out, trips over his slippers, and just, bam, butt right on the mortar. Again, how did it not explode? Mortars, Rich, I looked at pictures. Mortars are large.
Yes.
They're not tiny.
Police had reported that the shell was 57 millimeters, and it was an old World War II shell that was fired from anti-tank guns. So I guess it was fired then, because it's saying in the police report that it was fired, but they didn't know,
you
I guess, at the time.
You said 57 millimeters.
Yes.
That's 2.25 inches.
Went right up the hoo-ha.
I mean, that's pretty thick.
Hey, man. He's a military enthusiast.
He's an enthusiast. You know, I'm just thinking, what else has been up there? if his friends go over to his home and they're like, "Ooh, this is a cool thing," and they're touching all his paraphernalia, checking all, how many of those things have been up his butt? All of them.
He's a military enthusiast.
He's a military enthusiast.
But just in case the bomb squad was called, the 11th Department Explosive Ordnance Disposal Regiment. What the hell?
Can they come up with a catchier name?
What the hell kind of name is that?
Why can't they just call themselves the Bomb Boys or something?
The Bomb Boys.
What was the 11th Sup? Regimental Bomb Dispersal Unit Task Force? What?
Sup, we're the Bomb Boys. Take that.
Like, they gave themselves such a ridiculous name. They're trying to make themselves sound so much more important. I mean,
yeah.
Like...
the 11th Unit Explosive Ordnance Disposal Regiment.
Wow.
That sounds like a... something.
That's a mouthful.
That sounds like something from, like a musical or something, you know, instead of...
a musical?
Yeah.
What musical are you watching?
I'm thinking of that... Modern Major General.
Modern Major, yeah.
We're the 11th Unit Explosive Ordnance Disposal Regiment. That does kind of fit.
There's a man with a bomb up his bum. They call him the Bomb Boys. The 11th Regiment. What was it? The 11th?
The 11th Unit Explosive Ordnance Disposal Regiment.
Oh my God!
When there's a man
with a bomb in his bum,
when a military enthusiast needs some help, you call the 11th Explosive Ordnance Disposal Regiment.
It's the regiment part makes it sound so lyrical. Oh my God! What is going on in hospitals?
Yeah,
hospital stories. Slapping babies and bombs up bums, I mean...
Yeah, this is not a good week for hospitals in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News here.
Oh, my God.
One last note. Everything turned out okay. They were able to remove the mortar from the patient, and it was confirmed that the mortar was not live, and therefore was not a danger to the public. So, thank God...
Real question here. Did they give it back to him?
I guess they did. It's his.
I guess so, yeah.
But thank goodness for the 11th Unit Explosive Ordnance Disposal Regiment.
Thank God for them.
Yes.
Or maybe just don't stick a bomb up your butt.
Or don't fall on a bomb. How dare you? Don't leave a mortar right in the middle of the floor.
It's very upsetting that this is a common story.
Yeah.
Like, is that the best you can come up with? This is multiple. There's at least 4 or 5 times the odd news. There was a priest who had a potato on his chair.
Yep,
and slipped while he was painting, and the potato went up his butt. There was a guy who was naked working on air conditioning, and he slipped, and his penis went into the air conditioning vent.
Yep.
This guy puts a mortar on the floor upright in the middle of the floor, and you slip and you land on it.
Yep, right on it.
How many times? You know what?
Million to one shot, Doc.
Million to one shot.
Million to one shot,
Doc. Straight up the old shit shooter. You know, we criticized Hollywood for constantly remaking films with the same plot line. They're just modeling real life, Rich.
Yeah. Well, that excuse needs to go out the window. We need the true story. What exactly were you doing?
We know what he was doing. He was enthused.
Yeah, he was a military enthusiast. There you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. The two stories that you definitely needed to hear.
Oh, man. I mean, that was a good laugh. That was a good belly laugh.
Yeah, my ribs are hurting a little bit.
Oh, man.
So
it's always a good time in the odd news.
My ribs are hurting. My throat is a little sore from laughing, but that means we had a good time. But it also means we need to start wrapping this episode up. What a show. This is why you stick around with the Christmas Ritual Podcast.
That's right. For slapping babies and butt mortars.
There you go. You never know what you're going to hear in the odd news. And you never know what life lessons you're going to learn, because slapping babies is expensive. So take that with you.
Oh.
But that will wrap it up for right now. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you follow us on all the social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff.
You're so distracted by slapping babies.
Slapping babies is expensive. I want to see that on a bumper sticker or something. Like, just FYI.
We should make it happen. Stick the Crispy Noodle logo on it. Print them out. Yeah. Oh, my God.
There you go. So check us out on social media. Maybe we'll do it.
That's right. Well, in addition to all the social media channels, you also can subscribe to the YouTube channel where you get the video version of the podcast. You can also find the audio-only version of the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, Stitcher, and Amazon devices. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on either YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we've got mini noodles, some best bits of the show from shows gone by in previous years. Check it out for a quick laugh.
You're still reeling.
Yeah, this is great.
Well, you know what? If you want to submit...
You learn so much here.
That's right. You do. And if you want to submit your own odd news story, like Joe did on Twitter, you can reach...
Because of Joe, we learned that slapping babies is expensive.
Joe, thank you. From the bottom of our heart to you during this holiday season, thank you for that gift.
Yes. So if you want to be the next Joe, send us an odd news story.
That's right. You can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and let us know what you want us to talk about. But for right now, we got to wrap this up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That will do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later. Bye-bye, all you fine peoples. Bye-bye.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.